I think what excited us, or really, I think, gave us a sense of why this session was so important, was the fact that we can see a revolution in terms of agriculture occurring at the moment in Africa. And you can tell this even from the fact that The Economist magazine has rated the fastest growing economies of the world. They've said that 5 of the top 10 are currently in Africa. I imagined 5 of the top 10 would be in Asia, but in fact 5 of the top 10 are in Africa. And with that growth in terms of gross domestic product, wealth, income, people are turning towards food and want to be able to eat more meat, milk and rice, beans, etc. If we look at in terms of food production growth through to 2050, we see an expectation that the production in terms of food production in Africa will grow by 60%. And this far outstrips any other part of the world. South America is expected to grow by about 40%, but Africa 60%, and some might say that it should grow even more than that. If we look at it in terms of where the population of the world is today and where it'll be in the future, you can see here that 18% of the world's population, 15% today are in Africa, and the future that will rise to 25%. So as a proportion of the world's total, it'll become a more important percentage, not just a quarter of the world's population, but that the percentages represented by the other three major regions will actually drop. If we look at the world population 1960, this is how it's represented, not by the shape of the country, but by the numbers of people that are there. And we expand that through to 2050, you can see that Africa is growing tremendously, not just in terms of one particular country, but many of the countries, the population is exploding. If we look at the world of 7 billion people today, however, it's still very clear that the income levels in Africa, represented by those yellow-coloured bands, is still very low. And therefore, while we see a rising middle class in Africa, it still does not reflect the fact there still are very, very many poor people there. Now, one of the interesting quotes that I came across from an op-ed in the New York Times last week, I was talking about Boko Haram, which is obviously very much on our minds because we've had the kidnapping of 200 girls from their schools. And this journalist pointed out that the reason why that had occurred was because girls are going to school, something which has not occurred in the history of Africa before, certainly nowhere near to the degree that we see today. We've seen a 50% increase in the numbers of children going to secondary schools, both male and female, over the last 15 years. Another quote here from a photographer who wrote a book about the real Africa said, "When I got there, my story changed because I realized the way Africa is generally portrayed in the media, the mainstream media, is either about wars or famine or stories about terrible abductions. You see these horrors or the other extreme, beautiful safaris and exotic animals. There's nothing in between. So the story I was telling when I wrote this book is that there's a beautiful world that lies between these two extremes, these two truths." And I think that's what we're going to try to reflect here today. Now, some of the barriers which we face globally, or we face specifically in Africa, are reflected in the Glimpse article that I was part of, a group that put this together. And basically, we collected the opinions of about 50 agribusiness experts from around the world and put what they listed as being the reasons why it's going to be difficult to feed the world in the future. And when we took all of those factors and listed them, we realized that you could use the acronym, the letters of the word GLIMPSE, to describe them, which would be government losses, or the losses due to the loss of food or due to transportation, the infrastructure, markets, government policies, the acceptance and application of science, and the environment. And I think this is very appropriate when it comes to Africa. We also see huge deals being done for the land ownership in Africa today. At least two of our speakers this afternoon will refer to this, the amount of money being poured in, either through the purchase or leasing of land, 948 projects, 161 million hectares of land, changing hands in one form or another into either short-term, long-term leasings or the sale of land for outright purchase. I think this reflects the fact that many nations of the world, perhaps not those in the West, are seeing Africa as the future of agriculture and seeing the future of food.